Hello, lovely people. Welcome to CNN 10. I'm Coy Wire. It's Thursday, October 5th. Happy Friday Eve. We have big news that we have to jump right into. Historic news out of the nation's capital. For the first time ever, the Speaker of the House has been voted out of office. Speaker Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader in the House of Representatives, was kicked out of his position in the middle of a congressional term. Speakers in the past have stepped down after losing the support of their party, but McCarthy is the first to be ousted through a vote. The ousting was orchestrated by McCarthy's rival, Republican Matt Gaetz. Many members of the House were unhappy with McCarthy's stances on issues like spending cuts and the war in Ukraine. And Gaetz warned that he would file a motion to vacate or force a vote to remove the speaker if McCarthy worked with Democrats to fund the government over the weekend, keeping the government running instead of risking it shutting down. But that's exactly what McCarthy did over the weekend. Over a century ago, Republican Speaker Joseph Cannon faced a similar situation and basically dared his critics to vote him out. Cannon survived that showdown, marking the first time the House even thought about removing a speaker. Former House Speaker John Boehner also faced a threat back in 2015, but he didn't wait for the vote. He decided to retire early instead. Following Tuesday's vote against McCarthy, the ousted speaker made it clear that he will not be running for the speakership again, and the race for a potential successor is underway. Both House Majority Leader Steve Scalise of Louisiana and Jim Jordan of Ohio have already announced they will run to replace McCarthy as House Speaker, and a speaker election is expected to happen next week. Clearly, there are a lot of layers to this historic situation. Here, CNN's Lauren Fox with more.
Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy vowing not to run for Speaker again. After an unprecedented vote Tuesday, plunging the House of Representatives into chaos. The motion to vacate was filed by Representative Matt Gaetz, who along with seven other GOP members voted to oust the Speaker. With Democrats' votes, the motion passed, 216 to 210. McCarthy's speakership was the third shortest in history and was plagued with GOP infighting over spending cuts, border security, and providing aid to Ukraine. Now the race is on for House Republicans to elect a new speaker, as another possible government shutdown is 44 days away. Several names have emerged as possible contenders for speaker, including House Majority Leader Steve Scalise.
No one really knows who has the votes. So now we're going to go through that exercise right now and see who has our support.
One person not interested in the job is Gaetz.
Are you putting yourself forward for the speakership?
Absolutely not. I have no desire to be speaker.
McCarthy, for his part, says he has no regrets about his tenure as speaker.
I don't regret standing up for choosing governance over grievance. It is my responsibility. It is my job.
10-second trivia. The Mississippi River starts in Minnesota and ends in which state? Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, or Alabama? The Mississippi River ends where it starts, flowing into the Gulf of Mexico, and that is in Louisiana, where we're headed next. CNN's chief climate correspondent Bill Weir is on the ground in Louisiana, where millions of residents are facing a possible clean water crisis as salt water from the Gulf of Mexico is creeping up the river, threatening to contaminate their fresh water supply. We told you about this a bit earlier. Now, a severe summer drought that lowered the Mississippi River's water levels is to blame for this. Let's take a look at the infrastructure and possible solutions for this issue along the fourth longest river in the world.
In South Louisiana, folks are plenty familiar with salt water that moves at the speed of a hurricane. But now, they must also worry about salt water that creeps, steady and invisible, toward the crops, machines, and drinking water systems of almost a million people.
I happen to be one who believes in the power of prayer. I'm going to ask for people to pray for rain.
After a second straight year of extraordinary drought, the not-so-mighty Mississippi is too weak to hold back the Gulf of Mexico. So the heavier salt water is running downhill towards New Orleans in the shape of a wedge, with the toe about 15 miles in front of the kind of inundation that could threaten the health of the vulnerable and destroy everything from lead pipes to appliances. So the Army Corps of Engineers is urgently racing against time and salt with a couple different tools. This is the first of what will be many barges that can bring about 500,000 gallons of fresh water at a time. Downstream, they use it to dilute the brackish stuff as it goes into a small water plant here in Plaquemine Parish. The Corps says they can move 36 million gallons a day, but even that wouldn't be enough to save the New Orleans water supply. So they're already talking about maybe building pipelines to prop up that water system. In the meantime, the Corps is also building a big sill, like an underwater speed bump, to try to slow the wedge as it moves inland. But these are all temporary fixes. And the leader of this parish says if this is the new normal, that means parts of Louisiana will need the same kind of desalination that they use in Israel and other desert communities.
You've got one trailer would be the reverse osmosis, and the other would be the filtration system right there.
Keith Hinckley is the president of Plaquemine Parish, a spread-out county of less than 25,000, now spending a fortune on desalination.
If we didn't have help from the state and the federal government, it could bankrupt the parish here. So,
right?
Yeah. Because we're probably right now about $33 million in on this situation.
Okay.
And like I said, we're a small parish.
Just this summer, just this wedge.
Yeah, just because of this wedge.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is land that's familiar with hurricanes.
Oh,
flooding,
this.
Flooding, not droughts and wildfires.
Right,
how
right.
How do you reconcile these things?
Well, because like you say, when you look this way and you look that way, you're looking at water. We're in the middle of water, but we're in the middle of the wrong kind of water, and that's why we're needing these kind of machines.
There is hope El Nino will bring rare October rain. But this battle could last months, with the latest forecast putting the wedge close to New Orleans in the next 3 weeks.
Next up, some news about high-tech helpers, medical robots that can step into risky or dangerous situations to help medics so that they are kept out of harm's way. This tech has several advantages, like being able to work for extended periods of time and reach places doctors might struggle to get to. But there are also plenty of questions. How much will this tech cost? And at what cost can or should these robots replace a trained human? Take a look.
Spread out. I'm Dave Handelman, senior roboticist at the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Lab. We're collaborating with the Army on medic robot teaming. We look to apply robots to perform tasks that are dull, dirty, or dangerous. Medics, for example, often have to deal with multiple casualties, and we want to figure out ways in which robots can help.
Spot, go find another casualty. Send me his vital.
For example, robots can carry special sensors, find casualties, gather vital sign information, and relay that back to the medic and allow them to make better decisions for triage.
Here's Spot.
We're exploring tasks like bag valve mask ventilation. We're also looking at how robots can pull casualties out of harm's way. So here's Spot, the four-legged robot. So there are sensors all around it. It also has a manipulator to grab things. Voice commands, active, stand, come. We use both speech and gesture to communicate with the robot. In our teaming experiments, people wear augmented reality headsets, and they see information that's been transferred from the robot to them. These technologies, artificial intelligence, augmented reality, robotics, they will allow medics to do more over longer periods of time.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10 is positively amazing. NASA shared this image of Pan, Saturn's innermost moon. And it's not big. It's approximately 15 miles across. And is it just me, or does this moon look like a ravioli? The new technology allowed us to get a better look at its features. And honestly, yeah, that might be a big piece of pillowy pasta. Throw a little sauce on there. Ah, the possibilities. Hey, this reminds me. What do you call a fake noodle? An impasta. Shout out is going to Chipley, Florida today. They see me rolling at Rolac Middle School. Let's go. Thanks for subscribing and submitting your request on our YouTube channel for a shout out. Here's your Random Thought Thursday question. If someone describes something to you as indescribable, didn't they just describe it? I'm Coy. This is CNN 10, and I'll see you tomorrow. Friday.